take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottillo along with Charlie Long, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, covers the LSU Fighting Tiger football team for the Times-Picayune Morning Advocate, Wilson Alexander. Wilson, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. How you doing, bud?
Doing well. How are you guys this afternoon?
Doing great. Wilson, first question for you is, last year offensively, you could see until late in the year when Chris Hilton got healthy, this team did not have that over-the-top guy. And, you know, Chris kind of struggled when he came back from the injury. and he got the ire of Coach Kelly a couple times on the sidelines about it. But, you know, we knew with Kyron Lacy, you know, Kyron will work that short and immediate route. With a healthy Chris Hilton, that's one thing. Because we saw late in the season, man, he made an impact on that team. You could not put a safety in that box. You had to play him deep. But what about the transfer guys and how they have adjusted to this? They certainly went out and made a splash in getting certainly a speedster, a young man from Kentucky, University of Kentucky, and how that has worked out with this team. Because offensively, I think you have to have that guy that can blow the top off of coverage. And you had it late with Hilton. But if something happens to him, you got to have a fallback guy. They didn't have that last year.
To your point, Joe Sloan was speaking at LSU's coaches clinic a few weeks back, and he said how they lacked that deep threat basically without Luke Chris was injured. And he said, well, what does a good coach do? He goes and gets more. And that's what they did with Barry and Brown in particular. But they feel like they've got, you know, a couple of options. But obviously, I think with their speed, Barry and Brown and Chris Hilton are sort of your two deep threats going into next season. The guys who need to just take the top off vertically. And, you know, last year, according to Pro Football Focus, Garrett Nussmeier completed only 32% of his throws over 20 yards through the first 11 games. And then that jumped to 58% in the last two, and that's when Chris was healthy and performing well. You know, Garrett needs to be a little bit more accurate in his downfield throws as well. There was some that he missed, certainly. But it seemed like a lot of it was just that LSU did not have that kind of player at receiver to stretch the field. And so they have tried to go out and change that in an effort to improve that element of the offense, because it's going to be crucial for them this year to do a few different things offensively. I mean, because Garrett, we know, has the arm talent, but it was just inconsistent last year, and it became much more reliable once Chris was there. And so if they're able to start hitting those deep shots regularly, then they could really become an explosive offense.
Wilson, at the tight end position, I think you'll see a lot of 12 personnel, two tight ends, and Trey Daz is a big receiver playing in that slot as a tight end. But Bauer Sharp, I remember telling Tim Rebo when he was out Southeastern, I told him, I said, Coach Rebo, you never got to worry about playing him again. He ain't coming back to Southeastern. And he ended up at Oklahoma and then ends up now at LSU. what type of impact you think Bauer Sharp will make on this team? Because I think he would be a really good security blanket. You had that with Mason Taylor for Nussmeier a year ago. I think Sharp maybe becomes that guy this year.
Bauer Sharp's been one of the most impressive, I think, new additions to this team through what we've been able to see so far in spring practice. LSU's used him in some different ways. I mean, there was some moments, just two different plays, where he took a jet sweep on the goal line and one thing recently, like, that's your tight end doing that? Okay, wow. And then he caught a middle screen at 1.2. Those are things we haven't seen LSU do with a tight end anytime recently. And so, you know, he's a fluid route runner. He's very clearly athletic. And it seems like he's somebody who's just come in right away and been able to step into the offense without, you know, maybe too steep of a learning curve. Brian Kelly has complimented him for what he's brought in terms of leadership off the field, but, you know, on the field, he seems to be making a difference in sliding right in with that first team offense, and along with Tre'Davious Green, because, you know, it does seem like LSU's going to have that ability to do some things with 12 personnel this year. We talked about them maybe being able to do that last year, and it never really came to fruition quite in a big way. Mason Taylor was just kind of the guy. But Tre'Davious Green looks like, you know, can he continue to build off of what he showed in the bowl game in particular? It seems like he can. And if he does, then, yeah, you've got two capable tight ends there. We just got to kind of see what they turn into as blockers. That's going to be the big thing. At Oklahoma, there were moments when Bauer Sharp was a pretty effective blocker, but then there was also times when he kind of whiffed. So he's got to become more consistent in that area. And Tre'Davious Green has to improve in that area too, because that's not, you know, what his natural strong suit is. They both seem to be pretty good pass catchers, and they've got to continue to show that they are able to do everything that is required of a tight end in this offense.
Wilson, talked to an LSU assistant coach. I told him, tell me a defensive guy that really has stood out. And before I could finish the question, he answered me, Relaford. Real quick. And so that had to be something that we saw glimpses of last year with him along the defensive line. But from what I gather, he has really stood out, not only in his ability to get up the field and be disruptive as a pass rusher or get into the backfield, but he's become much improved against the run.
Yeah, anybody who's been out there, I think, has been able to see, like, oh, hey, you know, LSU brought in these three transfers, but don't forget about Gabriel Relaford, a guy who flashed a little bit here and there as a freshman. I mean, I think people would remember maybe most his spring game last year when he had multiple sacks. Ended up with the year, I think, having like maybe 1.5 or something like that, or maybe it was just a half. I can't quite remember. But it seems like his weight has maybe redistributed in some ways. And he's 268 pounds, which makes him the heaviest defensive end that LSU has on this roster. He's just a little bit of a different build that kind of makes him somebody who Brian Kelly said they want him to be that anchor against the run there at defensive end. I think Jack Pyburn would fill that sort of requirement as well with how violent he is in his ability to set the edge. But Gabriel Relaford has really come on this spring as somebody who, you're talking about a second-year player, looks like he's making that jump. It's going to be hard to probably keep him off the field this year if he's able to continue to show what he has so far this spring.
Wilson, hopping from the defensive line to the offensive line, obviously replacing four of five starters from last year is a big, tall task. And I've heard that it's, you know, Brian Kelly, when he was talking about it, he said that it's going to be a competition that goes all the way throughout into the season and stuff like that, and nothing's going to be solidified. Everyone's got to earn their role. From what I've just read as well, DJ Chester is still remaining at center, but how has the offensive line kind of lined up? How is Josh Thompson, the Northwestern transfer, kind of fitting into it? And what do you anticipate that starting five being?
I wish I knew how to anticipate what the starting five was going to be, because that would be valuable information for a lot of people. But I kind of believe Brian Kelly when he says that it is going to go on for a long time, because they bring in Braylon Moore, who Kelly told me before spring practice started would be the center. And here we are a few weeks in, and DJ Chester is still getting a lot of work as that potential first team center. It wasn't a position that he was perfect as by any stretch as a first year starter last year, but, you know, he's still fighting for that spot. And, you know, Braylon Moore is too. And so that also, you know, kind of leaves up a question mark as to how it's exactly going to work out with who's playing guard. Is it going to be Paul Mbinga? Is it going to be one of the two we've already mentioned? Or, you know, Cohen Echols has come on this spring at right guard with his physicality. Josh Thompson, you know, through his first few practices has been the second team left tackle, but that's, we don't really expect that to stay the case unless, you know, these other players that LSU already had step up and LSU believes that they're the ones that need to be out there. So it does seem like something that's going to go well into preseason camp and maybe even be something that could shuffle during the season, which isn't really what you want to hear when you talk about the offensive line. And I'm sure LSU would rather just find its, you know, probably its five that it trusts and be able to just roll them out there on a consistent basis. But when you have that much many new faces on the offensive line, that might be the situation here. So, you know, left to right, to answer, I think one of your questions so far really has been Tyree Adams at left tackle, Paul Mbinga at left guard, DJ Chester at center, Cohen Echols at right guard, and then Weston Davis at right tackle. The most competition we've seen so far has been at the center and guard spots. But, you know, Weston Davis is going to have to hold on to that right tackle position too. What I've been told is that he's been, you know, inconsistent because this is his first time getting this kind of playing time. So, long way to go there on that offensive line.
Wilson, though, one of the things in the secondary, because people bring it up to me about the cornerback position and bringing in Mansoor Delane from Virginia Tech, he's a guy that could play multiple positions for you, could play corner, could play in the nickel. I think he may actually end up maybe playing free safety for this team. So what I'm going to ask you is the progress or maybe what you're hearing back from the coaches on DJ Pickett, number one rated cornerback in America last year. And you talk about a big, tall drink of water. He's that. Man, there's not a lot of 6'4" cornerbacks walking this earth. And it's going to be interesting to see how well he matches up downfield. But your thoughts on him and also Jakeem Jackson. From Florida, another transfer guy that came in with a lot of credentials, had some injuries last year. What you've seen or what you've heard about the progress of DJ Pickett, and I was told by somebody, he's as advertised. He's that good, but also by Jakeem Jackson.
Yeah, with Pickett, a few weeks ago, there was a rep during one-on-ones where Pickett was guarding Berrien Brown, who, as we started talked about earlier, is one of the fastest players on this team. And he got beat on a basically a go ball. But Pickett then did what you have to do as a corner, which is he caught up. He had that used his closing speed to get there and then his length to knock the pass away in the end zone. I mean, it's just one-on-one rep, but it showed, you know, a lot of those traits that make him so impressive early on here as a freshman. And that has been the word that he is as advertised. But there's some competition there at that cornerback room. With Jakeem Jackson and Mansoor Delane in particular. And even Ashton Stamps is still in the mix there too. With Jakeem, I mean, we've seen him getting a lot of run with the first team defense. And, you know, he's a guy with some length. I mean, gosh, LSU, pretty much all of its guys at cornerback these days are over 6 feet tall. That's clearly been a priority for Corey Raymond. And Jakeem Jackson fits that bill. And then with Mansoor, you know, this is somebody with a lot of experience. I think that shows when you're watching him play. And he, a guy who I think really raises the floor of this position room for LSU. And, you know, probably LSU can find a way really for all of them to have a role of some kind if they are up to the task because of Mansoor's versatility, because he could be the nickel or maybe he could even play safety like you mentioned. And we'll see how that continues to all kind of shake out over the offseason. But when you look at this cornerback room in general, it does feel like the talent level has gone up compared to what it was over the past few years. Is it that elite DBU cornerback room? We won't know until the season, but it does seem like it is better, especially when, I mean, we're talking about all these other guys and Stamps started 16 straight games and, you know, is he going to start? I mean, what kind of role is he going to have? Because you brought in all this other talent, and that's a good thing for this team.
Wilson, the last question for you is, they'll have another wave here in the transfer portal. I don't know how active LSU will be in it in that manner. And you're always going to lose people, too. You're going to have guys decide, you know what, man, I see where I am on the depth chart. I'm getting out and I'm going to go play somewhere else where I can play quicker. Would you think offensive line and safety would be the areas maybe LSU would take a long look at if the right people became available?
Yes, I think that you would because, I mean, you need to – it's almost kind of like when you think about maybe the NFL draft or free agency in some ways, just, you know, roster building. Like, if you have a chance to add good players, then you'd be doing yourself a disservice not to do that at positions of need. And, you know, safety in particular, I think, is one where LSU should look for whoever is available at safety. But, you know, they're probably not going to reach on somebody who they don't think is a good fit. Offensive line, they have more options. But if there's somebody who's experienced who they think could come in right away and play, then they would probably go and look for that. You're not going to probably add a depth piece on the offensive line because they've had so many recruits come in over the past few years. But their depth is okay, but they need somebody who's probably more established. So if that exists out there, then they might need that safety. You could go either way. You could try to add depth long-term, or you could even, but probably most importantly, need to find somebody who could potentially compete to play right away. You might even also look for defensive tackles. LSU at that spot is a lot of unproven guys, a lot of young players there. You know, Ahmad Bro had a good freshman year. Dominic McKinley showed some things. You got Jacoby Guillory coming back. Sadir Mitchell seems to have had a pretty solid spring after transferring from Texas. Like, there's options there, but, you know, again, you might feel good if you were able to add one. But these are all positions that are going to be tough to sign. It's probably going to be an inflated market. There's going to be a lot of money out there. And LSU did a lot of its work already in the winter portal window. So, you know, I haven't gotten the impression talking to people yet that they're going to be super active. But I'm sure that they're going to be looking around to see what's available when that does open up.
Wilson, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate it. And always in our thoughts and prayers. You got one tough lady, and I know you've had some good news on that part, but we're still thinking, praying for you guys.
I appreciate that, Mike. Thanks for having me, and y'all have a great rest of your day.
All righty. Wilson Alexander does a great job covering the LSU Fighting Tigers on their football spring. And man, before you know it, Charlie, we're going to be talking because the summer's going to be here real quickly. Man, LSU and that opener against Clemson. Man, can't they find somebody else that's not as tough?
That's what people keep telling us. It's just like, why do they keep scheduling good opponents in the openers starting out 0-1? Come
but
on, man.
Charlie, here's the crazy thing. I've had three different people, odds makers, and all three of them said, I think LSU wins that game.
I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, the issue with Clemson, and like you mentioned, we'll talk a lot more about this in the summer, all the returning production on that team that made the postseason just this past year. I know that they won the ACC by slim margins, taking down SMU in the ACC championship game to get into that field of 12. But all the returning production they have on that roster is what makes them so scary.
Yeah, but the only thing is defensive line and wide receiver, something they were really good recruiting in, not quite as good anymore. That's something Dabo's going to have to pick it up.